الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to a new chapter in the book عمدة الأحكام, a chapter beloved to those who are not married, a chapter may be beloved by those who are married and may not, depending on how happy their marriage is. This chapter deals with marriage, and the rulings related to marriage are plenty and a lot. So you have marriage, and if it is not successful, you have divorces. And with divorces, you have to know the number of iddah or waiting period, and so many things related to it, such as the ruling on suckling or breastfeeding, and when to do it and when not to do it. Also related to an-nafaqat, which is maintenance and child support, and the provision that has to go to the wife, etc. The rights of the husband, the rights of the wife, the obligations on the husband, obligations on the wife. All of these are discussed in details in the books of fiqh. So we have hadith number 302, and who will read that for us? Yes.
Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, O young men, those among you who can support a wife should marry, for it restrains eyes from casting evil glances and preserves one's private parts from fornication. But he who cannot afford it should observe fast, for it is a means of controlling the sexual desire.
Okay, this hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud is an address to the youth. And why not to the old people? Because the youth are in greater need of getting married. And the younger you are, the more difficult for you to get married. When you grow older, this becomes easier. So the Prophet ﷺ is addressing the young men. And he says that whoever is capable to get married, he should do so. And what is meant by the ability to get married? Two things.
Physical and economical.
Or financial. Very good. So these are the two requirements. Physically and financially. The Prophet is indicating that whoever is capable financially and physically to get married, he should do so. Now, what is the ruling on getting married? And scholars, as usual, put the five rulings on it. It can be mandatory, it can be highly recommended, it can be permissible. As it can be not recommended, and it can be also forbidden, depending on the situation. If a person who does not have enough to support his family, and he's unable to physically assume his responsibilities as a husband, so neither physically nor financially, and he gets married, this is forbidden. He's harming the other party in this marriage, both physically and financially. If a person has the wealth, has the health, and fears that if he doesn't get married, that he will fall into zina, into the major sin of fornication, marriage becomes mandatory upon him. He has to get married because he's able. And you can cascade that to different sorts of scenarios as well. What's the benefits of marriage? There are tons of benefits of marriage. Allah mentioned that in the Quran. And he spoke, subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the compassion, about the mercy, about the care between the spouses. And this can only be attained by marriage. No matter how close your mother is, no matter how close your father is, no matter how close your brother and sister are, again, nothing takes the place of a good and righteous and caring and loving wife. And those who are pessimistic would say, Sheikh, this is only found in Jannah. a good, righteous, caring, loving, compassionate wife. No, no, this is not true. Alhamdulillah, we have millions of successful marriages and millions of practicing, righteous, caring, loving sisters who are doing their job excellently. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said that dunya, this life we are living in, is something that is transit and it's not solid. Something that is pomp and glitter of this life. And the best of it is a righteous woman. The best thing that a person could gain and part of the treasures of this life is a righteous, practicing, loving and caring wife. And this goes for the sisters as well. The best thing that a sister could have is a loving and caring husband. If he's rich, this adds value. But if he's rich and not kind or compassionate, this has no value, none whatsoever. Among the benefits that the Prophet has mentioned in this hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, for marriage is that, especially for the youngsters, when they get married, then this would help them to lower their gaze. And it would help them to protect their chastity. Because then they have no reason to go and look around or to do something haram, such as masturbation or such as fornication, zina. All of these are sins. And Allah described those who do such things as aggressors, wrongdoers. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ They are wrongdoers. They are committing a form of transgression. Then the Prophet ﷺ gives a solution. Because the first thing that would cross one's mind would be, I don't have money. What can I do? I cannot get married. If this is the case, the Prophet gives you a solution. For you not to fall into sin, for you not to send your gaze or not to fornicate, then you have to fast. Because fasting would stop and prevent and reduce your desire to commit something that is haram. From this hadith, we learn the benefits, or some of it, of marriage. And we learn also that it is something that is highly recommended, providing that you can afford to do that. Now, there are lots and lots of rules related to marriage, which are not discussed here. And it might not be the right place to discuss it because, as stated before, this is a summary of fiqh. For example, there are pillars for marriage. There are conditions for marriage. There are marriages that are haram. Among the pillars of marriage is the consent of both parties and that they are able to get married. A man cannot marry his aunt because she's among the mahram. He's mahram to her. He cannot marry his sister through suckling, for example, and so on. So they both have to be capable of being married to each other. There has to be consent. So the guardian has to give his proposal and the groom-to-be has to give his acceptance. Without that, the marriage is invalid. So any woman that marries without a wali, a guardian, her marriage is invalid. And so on. A lot of the Muslims, unfortunately, we find women asking the question and acting upon before even knowing the answer. Sheikh, I love this man in the university, and my father is not willing to give him to me in marriage or give me to him in marriage. So we went to the imam of the masjid and he made the contract and we've been living together. Is this acceptable? The answer is no. This is zina. Your marriage is invalid because you have to have the approval of your guardian. If the guardian is a wrongdoer himself, you got 100 proposals and he's refusing all of them without any legitimate reason, you cannot still marry without a guardian. You have to go to the ruler, to the Muslim judge, who would look into your case and decide whether to give the guardianship to someone who's closer. So instead of your father, he gives it to your brother. But this has to go through the Muslim judge or the Muslim ruler, not by your own whims and desires. So many things are connected to marriages. The issue of mahar or dowry or sadaq, is it a pillar or part of the conditions? It must it be paid immediately or can it be postponed? Can the mahar be paid from the girl to the boy, as it happens in some cultures? This is, of course, unacceptable. The mahar can only, the dowry can only be given from the boy to the girl, not the other way around. Some make the trick. So the boy says in the contract, yes, I give 5,000 rupees as mahar, as dowry to my wife to be. But from under the table, he requests the father to give him a car, the uncle to give him a house, and maybe 6 tons of gold and this and that. What is this? Can a man accept such a thing? He would not become a man. The financial burdens of marriage could only be borne by the husband, by the man. He's the one who pays. And the woman is like a queen. To have it the other way around, this is wrong. And we have lots and lots of, unfortunately, similar situations that you all know of. Maybe we will get some of your questions in the Q&A session and we will clarify this. Or if it's understood, alhamdulillah, we will keep on what we're doing. So before moving to the following hadith, we have a short break. So stay tuned and inshallah, we'll be right back.